welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, broadcasting programs from the golden age of radio. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. In this hour, sitcoms. Later on, we'll hear an episode of Blondie from 1944. But first, a relatively rare episode of Phone Again Finnegan, an NBC episode from May 11th, 1946.
From Hollywood, Stuart Irwin as Finnegan in...
Phone Again Finnegan.
Hello, this is Finnegan.
And now let's drop in at the Welcome Arms Apartments, where manager Fairchild Finnegan is setting up his routine for the day, assisted by the capable Fanchon Smith.
Let's see. Coal's ordered, plumbing's repaired, there. Anything else to be taken care of, Fanchon?
Oh, yes, Finnegan. Mrs. Burbank is complaining about that peeping Tom again.
Huh? But that peeping Tom was arrested 3 days ago.
Yeah, that's why she's complaining. She's lonesome.
Oh.
Welcome on. Oh, just a minute. Phone again, Finnegan.
Hello. Oh, hello, Julius. Huh? I did your brother's homework yesterday, and he was kept after school. Now you want me to do your homework. Oh, your teacher looks like Betty Grable, huh? Julius, you go dunk your swyback.
Oh, that Julius Flynn. 6 years old, and he can whistle like a wolf through his teething ring.
Yeah, he's precocious.
You mean ferocious. Oh. Why, when he's in kindergarten, it's like a Harpo Marx movie. Office. Just a minute. Phone again, Finnegan.
Hello? Yes, Mr. Martin. Oh, all right. I'll see that it doesn't happen again.
What's the matter?
Speezy's father. He wants me to put his son's electric trains away when I get through playing with them.
Oh, Finnegan, aren't you a bit too old for toys?
Yeah. I should play more games, like Parcheesi.
Well, when you get the post office, let me know.
Well, good morning, my dear children.
Well, Wilfred, is something wrong? You aren't wearing your fangs today.
The day is young.
Matter of fact, my friends, I feel rather good.
Why? Did you poison somebody?
Ah, now, Finnegan, maybe Wilfred has turned over a new leaf.
Turned over a new leaf? He'd have to turn over a whole tree.
pick on me. I was just having fun riding your bicycle, Finnegan.
Oh, did you borrow my bike again?
Yeah, but I'm getting tired of it. When are you going to get a two-wheeler?
Wilfred, it is a two-wheeler.
Then your sprocket's dragging. By the way, I let some other kids ride it, too.
Well, I'm glad you were generous, Wilfred.
Then everybody's happy. The kids got to ride, and I've got $1.20.
Oh, Wilfred, you charged those kids for riding my bike?
Don't get sore. Here's your cup.
Are you offering me 20 cents?
All right. Let's not haggle. Make it 25 cents.
Oh, that's better. Wilfred, you should be ashamed of yourself.
I am. I should have got twice as much.
I wish you were like other kids.
Uncle Finney.
Oh, Bunny, baby. Now, here, Wilfred. You should try to be more like Bunny.
Like Bunny?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, call me Peter Rabbit.
Oh, my. Whenever I leave you two alone, you always get into an argument.
But I was telling Wilfred I wish he'd be more like you.
That would be silly. He's a boy.
The girl has a point, Finnegan.
Mm-hmm. Here I am, between the devil and those deep blue eyes again.
Uncle Finney, you should have more patience with Wilfred. He looks like such a nice, sweet boy.
Do you mean that, or is it because I've got $1.20 in my pocket?
Oh, no, Wilfred. I like you for yourself. How much did you say you have?
All women are alike. Well, I'm going to put the bike in the cellar.
Mm. Somebody should have a good talk with that boy.
Perhaps I'd better. What would you like for dinner tonight, Uncle Finney?
Oh, some hot dogs, beans, sauerkraut, and a glass of beer.
Okay.
Will you remember that?
Oh, sure. Lamb chops, carrots, and a glass of milk.
That's just what I said.
I don't know what would happen to you if I wasn't around. You wouldn't eat the right things or comb your hair off. Oh, Uncle Finny.
Oh, all right, Bunny. I'll comb it right away.
See that you do.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll get some perfume to make you smell nice.
Now, just a minute.
It's men's perfume, Uncle Finny. It's called Old Harness Saddle and Wagon Wheel.
Oh. No. Gosh, Bunny.
You'll be more appealing to the ladies.
Yeah, lady horses.
I'll get it, and you'll wear it.
Yes, ma'am.
And don't get into any mischief while I'm gone.
No, ma'am.
Bye.
Goodbye. Dolly Fanchon, she treats me like a baby.
She certainly does mother you.
Yeah. And you know something?
What?
I love it.
Office. Just a minute. Phone again, Finnegan.
Hello. Yes, Mr. Winkle. Well, boys will be boys. Why? I don't know why. They just generally are, that's all. Huh? Oh, all right. All right, I'll see what I can do.
Oh, Mr. Winkle. Mm. Now, there's a man who was born screaming and is still at it 70 years later.
Yeah.
What's he complaining about now?
The kid's in the empty lot. He says they knocked a baseball through his window and hurt his hand.
Why doesn't he wear a catcher's mitt?
I better go out and ask the kids to quit.
Yeah, and I'd better go with you. The last time you talked to those kids, they hit you over the head with third base.
No, it wasn't their fault. They didn't know it was loaded. And besides, you can't leave.
I put your bike in the cellar, Finnegan.
Oh, thanks.
Now, can I borrow your pinochle deck? Those kids might have some money left.
Wilfred, I'd like you to do something for me. After all, your mother does own this apartment building.
So what?
Well, I'd like you to watch the switchboard for a few minutes.
Listen, my mother also owns a set of false teeth, but that doesn't mean I have to wear them.
Look, Wilfred, you mind the switchboard, or some dark night when you walk up an alley...
Fanchon, my dear, you talked me into it. I'll be happy to watch your switchboard.
Yeah, that's a good boy, Wilfred. We'll be back in a few minutes.
Well, might as well read my new book. The Psychological Approach to Understanding Inferior Adults. This is interesting. I've never worked a switchboard before, but for a mind like mine, it should be simple. Hello?
Hello. I want some information.
You do? Animal, vegetable, or mineral?
Some kid rode a bicycle through my new cement sidewalk before it was dry.
You don't say.
I do say. The tire marks are as clear as day. Do you know anyone who owns a bicycle with crisscross tires?
That's a very interesting question. I think I do know such a person.
Good. Tell me who it is, and I'll tear his ears off.
That shouldn't be difficult. He has the kind of ears you can get a good grip on.
Then you do know what he looks like. Good. Tell me quickly.
He's got a nose like a potato.
I'll mash it.
And he wears his hair like a cocker spaniel's ears.
Never mind. What's his name?
His name? What's it worth to you, bud?
What's it worth? Why, this is extortion. I won't pay a cent.
You won't? Well, I can't waste my time talking to pikers. Such stupidity. When I think that someday I'll be a grown-up, too, it depresses me.
Well, I'm back, Wilfred. Anyone call?
Yeah, a man called.
Oh, did he say what he wanted?
He wasn't quite sure.
Oh, my. I hope he calls back.
I have a strange feeling he will. Where's Finnegan?
Out on the vacant lot, trying to get the kids to stop playing baseball.
Why talk to those runts? I can pick them off one by one from my window with a slingshot.
And when I was on the Wichita Eagles sub-team, I really could swat them out.
Well, show us how you bat them, Mr. Finnegan.
Oh, no. I'd probably knock the ball into someone's window, just the way you fellas did.
Oh, no, you won't. Just butt one.
Well, all right. Pitch an easy one to me. Nice and easy.
Okay. Here she comes. Gee, look at it go. Over the fence.
Pretty good, wasn't it? Now, why did that drugstore have to be there?
Gee, old Doc Brunell's store window. Hey, we better run for it. Jiggers, come on, Finnegan, run.
Oh, my.
Follow me, Finnegan, over the fence.
Oh, I wish that fence wasn't there. It isn't there now.
Come on, keep on running.
I'm coming.
Now hold still, boss. You got a few more splinters in this side.
Oh, take it easy, Larson.
By Yiminy, you look like a porcupine with a crude cut. What happened?
Oh, not much, Larson. I just hit a baseball through old Doc Brunell's store window.
Did it break?
Only in one place. All over.
Well, boss, I wouldn't worry about one window.
Well, that wasn't all. I knocked a whole fence down. I didn't miss one picket.
What was pickets doing on the fence? We ain't got no labor trouble.
No, but I tore my union suit. And then I ran into a clothesline with nice, clean clothes on it.
Did you run into any white shirt size 15 and a half?
And then I got my face all tangled up in those three-cornered pants, and I couldn't see where I was running. And then things began to happen.
Things began to happen. Boss, life for you is no bed of roses.
I was in one of those, too.
I wondered what the petunias was doing in your hair.
Petunias in my hair?
Yeah, they make you look cute.
Oh. I shudder to think what I've done. I must have torn up the whole garden.
Is that all you did?
Well, that's all. Except, oh, I hate to think what happened next.
Well, get it off your chest, boss. Squeal on yourself.
I ran down the street with those things over my head and...
Oh, Jesus. This is going to be good.
Stop smacking your lips and rubbing your hands together.
Excuse me, boss.
Well, I ran into Frascini's vegetable stand, and he almost caught me. I slipped on the bananas.
Well, how come he didn't catch you?
Frascini slipped on his zucchini.
Boss.
Yes, Larson.
You are in a jam.
Yeah. And we've got to straighten it out.
We? Now, just a minute. I ain't done nothing.
But you've got to help me, Larson.
I think I will just stay here in the cellar. This is an unlucky day.
Oh, please, Larson. Take this money and pay Doc Brunell for his window and tell the others I'll repair all the damage.
Don't worry, boss. I'll take care of everything for you. Are you sure you haven't forgotten anything?
Well, I don't think so. Oh, yes, I ran across the street against the signals. Send $2 to traffic court and tell them I've been jaywalking.
Jaywalking?
Uh-huh.
You was flying around like a yaybird, too.
Oh, I shouldn't have run after I broke that window. I acted just like one of those kids.
That ruffian, that hoodlum, he dug up my scout.
He's a Jesse James. He is a Dillinger, a public enemy.
He rode his bike through my fresh cement.
He should be handcuffed, a disgrace to the neighborhood.
Here's the bumbet, the mullet, the concert.
All right. Take it easy. Now, one at a time. You're first, lady. What's your complaint?
Captain, that boy is a scoundrel. He tore my wash line and ruined everything. And poor Junior, only 2 months old, without any...
Ah, he shortchanged the kid, huh? you there. Now, what's it with you?
He means you.
Oh, yeah, me. Well, the ruffian deliberately knocked a baseball through my window. Broke it into 1,000 pieces.
Why do windows always break into 1,000 pieces? Don't they ever break into 300 pieces? Or 647 pieces?
Well, I counted them, sir. 1,000 pieces exactly.
All right, get that box of glass off me, Disc. I'll take your word for it. Now, you're next.
Oh, Captain, please. My nice fresh banana, a squish. My nice new beans, a plop. My nice new watercress, a swoosh. Everything she's a go, a squish, a plop, a swoosh. Oh, let's get that bad of a beetle.
Oh, Quiet now. Well, this looks like a one-boy crime wave. Now take some men and scour the neighborhood for the hoodlum. Hold on.
Yes, sir.
Call the reform school and tell them they'll soon have a new student. Did you hear me?
Yes, sir.
All right.
War begins a wonderful time.
See, you're behaving strangely, Finnegan. What have you done?
I'm ashamed to tell you, Fanchon. I just feel silly and unwanted.
Oh, you're silly to feel unwanted. Because somewhere, someplace, I feel sure somebody wants you.
After what I've done. Oh, no, they don't.
Oh, so that's what's on your mind. You feel badly because you chased the boys.
I'll say I do.
Must have hurt you to do that.
Yes, more places than one.
Well, don't be so upset. Anyone think you knocked that baseball through the window?
Has Larson been talking?
Finnegan, something is up. Tell me, where's the body?
Hello, Finnegan.
Here it is.
Miss Vanessa, when you came in, did you see Larson?
No, but I did meet a very attractive policeman.
Policeman?
Uh-huh. He told me the entire force was out looking for a very bad boy.
Really? I wonder if they need any help.
Well, the officer warned me to be careful if I ran into him.
Maybe you shouldn't go out alone.
Don't worry about me, Finnegan. I like bad boys. Big bad boys.
Miss Vanessa, what did the boy do? Something terrible?
Well, I don't know all the details, but it seems he knocked a baseball through a window.
Yes.
Tore up a flower bed.
Uh-huh.
Knocked a fence down.
He did.
Finnegan, what's wrong? You're white as a sheet.
Do you know who the boy is?
They have a pretty good description of him.
Oh, my. I should give myself up.
You? You're not a boy, Finnegan.
I act like one, but I'm dangerous.
You dangerous?
Yes.
You never let your hair down.
Oh, yes, I do. But Bunny makes me comb it.
Finnegan, why don't we go out and tear up the town together?
I've got a pretty good start.
Have you been chasing around with other people?
Well, in a way, but not the way you think.
Then why are you so cold where I'm concerned?
Where are you concerned?
With you, Finnegan.
Oh.
Tell me, what's wrong with me?
Oh, brother, what an opportunity.
Fanchon, darling, remember, Finnegan is footloose and fancy free. Do you mind if I have a shot at him?
I'd like a shot at him myself.
Oh, shoot.
Welcome, Arms. Oh, just a minute. Phone again, Finnegan.
Hello?
Hello, boss.
Oh, hello, Larson. Did you take care of everything? Did you see Doc Burnell?
Yeah, I saw him. He looked fine.
Oh, why? Did you give him the money?
I had to. He don't give away cents for nothing.
Didn't you pay him for the window and take care of the other things?
By golly, I knew I'd tied a string around my finger for some reason.
Oh, I was counting on you, and everything adds up to trouble. Well, hurry home and meet me in the cellar. The police are looking for me, and here we sit.
Shall we go out for a walk?
Oh, I'd be arrested before we walk 10 steps.
Boss, maybe we could get started fixing all that damage tonight. I got a flashlight.
Gee, Larson, did you think we could?
Sure, why not? I got glass for the window, plenty of it.
Larson, my friend.
I know. I am a genius.
We can put up a new clothesline.
And put up a new fence.
And fix up Rossini's fruit stand.
And make up that bed of roses.
Huh?
I will get all the tools together, and when it's dark, we can sneak out the back way.
Yes. How about midnight, Larson?
Yeah, the twitching hour. And while we are waiting, I'll sing like a silver-throated smorgasbord.
A smorgasbord? That doesn't sing. It whistles.
Don't send my boss to prison. Don't coop him up like a rat. He didn't hit that baseball. The baseball just bounced off his bat. With a double Valtorini and a hacksaw blade. Don't send my boss to prison. Please let him go out on bail. He don't need more education. He can't learn nothing in Yale. Heidi-ho, heidi-hey, it's commencement day. Don't send my boss to prison. We will miss him when he's gone. Finnegan isn't a salmon. Don't send him up the river to reform. With a zazuzu and a bebop-a-leba.
Gosh, it's dark in this alley. You got everything, Larson?
Yeah, boss. I got the shovel, the hoe, the rope, some pickets, some fences, and a sack of fertilizer.
Oh, shh. Don't be so noisy.
What did you say, boss?
Lucky I was carrying the glass. We'd better hurry.
Okay. I lift the window pane up.
Yeah.
Ooh. We are lucky. It just fits by Ginger.
Okay. Now I'll hold the glass and you putty it in quick.
Yeah. Now, let me see. Where did I put that putty? Putty, cement mixer.
Oh. Hurry up, Larson.
Oh, ye west, boss.
For mercy's sakes, Larson, what's the matter?
I forgot the putty.
Oh, no.
I got a bad memory. Even when I was a small
Larson,
boy...
Larson, run back and get the putty and hurry up. My arms are getting tired.
Yeah, boss. I will run like a frightened goose.
Well, that was a quick trip, Larson. Hand me the putty. I can't hold this window glass forever.
Turn around with your hands up.
Huh? Oh, officer. You surprised me.
I'm sorry. Next time I'll have trumpets blow. Now, put those hands up.
But, officer...
Put them up, I say.
All right, but you'll be sorry. See what I mean?
Next case, Fairchild Finnegan.
Good morning, Your Honor.
Are you Fairchild Finnegan's father?
I'm Fairchild Finnegan.
What? You're this one boy crime with?
He's a confirmed juvenile delinquent, Judge.
Oh, juvenile delinquent, eh? Why, this boy must be at least 40 years old.
I'm very young for my age, Your Honor.
Your Honor, he's a man physically, but a yo-yo mentally.
Well, I don't know what to do with you, Finnegan.
Perhaps I'd better be going along then, sir.
Finnegan, you may not be going anywhere for quite some time.
Judge, please don't send me to reform school.
Oh, no, I can't send you to reform school. You're bigger than the warden. Frankly, I'm baffled. Usually, I can talk to the delinquent's father or mother.
Uncle Fairchild, Finnegan.
Bunny, you shouldn't have come down here.
Why not? Isn't this a place for children?
Well, and who is this young lady?
I'm Bunny. You might say I'm sort of his mother.
Mother?
Sort of his mother.
Mother. Well, mother, your boy has been getting into trouble.
Uncle Finney, now what have you been doing?
No, honest, Bunny, it isn't all my fault. I just batted one ball and it busted a window. Well, when the other kids ran, I ran too, and everything happened.
You see, Judge, he's not fully developed yet.
Yes, my dear. a case of arrested developments.
Couldn't you please let him go, Judge? He'll pay for the damage.
Well, I suppose so. But after all, I should punish him.
Oh, I'll punish him. Don't worry, Uncle Finney. No cream puffs and no Roy Rogers movies for a whole month.
Barney, I'd rather go to jail than miss Roy Rogers.
Well, Finnegan, I hereby remand you to the custody of your, mother. And, Finnegan, keep out of mischief in the future. Why not take up a good, interesting hobby?
Well, that's a good idea, Judge. I think I'll take up baseball.
Yes, I... Oh, no! No, not that!
For big and a wonderful life.
Turn off the light, Uncle Finney. I'm sleepy.
Okay, Bunny baby. Here she goes.
Uncle Finney, do you think I'm growing up?
You certainly are. And much faster than I am.
I mean, do you think I'm getting big enough to have a date?
A date? Well, yes. How about having a real date with me tomorrow, huh? We'll go to the zoo and eat peanuts and popcorn and go to the circus, see a puppet show.
Oh, that would be wonderful. It sounds like an extra special occasion.
It is, Bunny.
Phone Again Finnegan, starring Stuart Irwin, is produced in Hollywood by Frank Farron.
Phone Again Finnegan, on Tuned to Yesterday, an NBC episode from May 11, 1946, the seventh in a series that lasted exactly a year on air. During the period of that last broadcast, it was heard as part of NBC's Saturday evening lineup at 5 o'clock. You're listening to an hour of sitcoms on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Lifonier. Now time for Blondie, an Armed Forces Radio Service rebroadcast from October 15, 1944.
Don't touch that dial, because there's nothing else on. You might just as well listen to Blondie.
Well, Dagwood and his next-door neighbor, Herb Woodley, are usually feuding with each other. Today is no exception. Already there have been a couple of border clashes, and right now, while Blondie is in the kitchen, Dagwood is doing a little reconnaissance around Woodley's garage. All is quiet for a moment. And then...
Oh, dear. Well, I suppose that means he's got another black eye or a bloody nose or a shoe has come untied. They've done nothing but fight all day.
There you are. Oh, my.
Dagwood.
What?
What are you doing with your finger in that mouse trap?
Well, you know, I told you that I thought it was Woodley who's been taking tools out of my garage at night and putting them back the next night.
Yes.
Yeah, well, I wanted to see if he had any of my tools in his garage. And I was reaching inside the window to unlock the door when wham. Oh, boy, does it hurt.
Well, take your finger out of it.
Yeah. Oh, yes, that's right. Woodley did it, Blondie. It was a booby trap.
I guess he trapped one, then.
Yeah,
he
did. Yeah.
Look, Dagwood, there's a note on the mousetrap.
A note?
I wonder what it is.
Maybe it's an apology, huh?
Let me see.
Well, what's it say?
It says, nuts to you, Bumstead. My, what a lovely sentiment.
Yeah, sentiment, huh? I'll murder that wise guy. I'll rip him to shreds. I'll tear him into squares and hang him out like Dives. I'll chop him into chunks and kick him around till I lose him.
Dagwood, for heaven's sake.
Don't try to stop me.
Dagwood, stop.
Yes, dear.
Now, Dagwood, in the first place, I don't think that Mr. Woodley has really been stealing tools out of your garage.
Yeah, well, my hand drill is gone.
Is that a thing that you hold and turn like an egg beater?
Yeah. I'd give $100 to know where that is.
Oh, Mr. Woodley does have that. And hand over the $100.
How do you know he has it?
Because I loaned it to him.
Oh.
Now, hand over the $100.
That was just a figure of speech, Blondie.
But, Dagwood, you promised.
I didn't mean it literally, Blondie. It was just a figure of speech.
Oh, Dagwood.
Yeah. Besides, why did you give the drill to Woodley?
Well, he said he preferred to borrow it from me.
He preferred, huh? He never would have gotten it from me.
He said that, too. Now, stop making so much over nothing at all. You're not losing any tools. They're getting returned, aren't they?
Well...
And you ought to be ashamed of yourself, the way you've been fighting with Mr. Woodley. He's very nice, and I think he really likes you a lot.
He's nice, huh?
Yes.
And I doubt that.
Now, look, Dagwood, you always start the trouble. I wish you'd promise me something.
Well, all right. What is it, Blondie?
The next time you and Mr. Woodley meet, you let him talk first. You'll be surprised. You know, he'll probably say something very nice.
Yeah, but
now,
I...
Now, let's see who's at the door. Will you do that now?
Yeah, well, okay, Blondie. I promise to be nice.
I'm sure he'll say something that'll just surprise you.
Yeah.
Oh, hello, Mr. Woodley.
Hello, Blondie. Hello, stupid.
Hello, good-looking.
Who are you calling good-looking?
Oh.
Why am I complaining?
Yeah.
Or did you sneer when you said it?
What do you want, Mr. Woodley?
Bumstead, I accuse you of stealing one of my mousetraps. Come on, now, hand it over.
Yeah, but what are you going to do with it?
I'm going to turn it in for a trap that's got teeth in it.
Oh, Blondie, but please let me hit him now.
Now, look out, Bumstead. Don't touch me.
I only just want to paste him once or twice. Oh, come on, Blondie. Go ahead and let me
have it. Now, don't come near me, Bumstead.
No, Dagwood. If you hit Mr. Woodley, you're going to have trouble with me.
Go ahead. Hit me. I dare you. Just try to start something.
Start something, huh? Okay, Woodley, you asked for it. And now you're going to get it.
Dagwood?
I mean, he's going to get the mousetrap. I'll be right back.
Oh, Mr. Woodley, why do you and Dagwood have to fight like this?
Well, we don't have to, but it's more fun this way.
Now, couldn't you be nice to him when he comes back with the mousetrap? You know, just say something pleasant. Won't you do it, please?
Well, I do want to borrow his electric jigsaw.
Then you will do it for old time's sake, Mr. Woodley?
No, but I'll do it for the electric jigsaw. Oh, here he comes.
Well, I got the mousetrap for you.
Ah, that's swell of you, Dagwood. You're really a swell guy, old palsy-walsy.
Yeah. Thanks, Herb. Here's the trap.
Thanks, Dagwood. Oh, my finger!
Go on, Woodley.
Yes, Alexander. What's Pop laying on his stomach out by the garage for? Looks like he's out hunting snipe.
He's out hunting Woodley. He's trying to catch Mr. Woodley, but he's more likely to catch a cold.
Gosh, sometimes Pop seems just like a big kid.
Well, that's normal. I mean, all grown men act like children from time to time. You should see them at conventions. No, I guess I'd rather you didn't see them.
I know what you mean. Everyone ends up wearing funny hats.
With confetti in their hair.
Let's go out and see if Pop's had any success.
All right, Alexander. Now, be careful, Alexander. These back steps are very dark.
Okay. Hiya, Pop. What's cooking? Or maybe I should say, what's freezing?
Have you caught Mr. Woodley yet?
Oh, for the love of Pete. Shh, not so loud.
Well, you haven't answered my question yet, Dagwood.
No, I haven't caught him yet, and stop talking so loud.
Not so loud, Pop.
Yes. Shh, please. Oh, please go away. As long as you're here, no one will sneak up to the garage.
Why not?
Yeah, well, because... Shh. Who said that?
Hello, Mr. Niles.
Hiya, Mr. Niles.
Hello, folks. Why, what's the matter, Dagwood? You leaped like a salmon going upstream.
Yeah.
And what were you doing on the ground?
Oh, shh, please be quiet. Huh? Oh, he's whispering about.
You told him to.
Oh, yeah, that's right, I did.
Dagwood, it's getting very chilly. Come on inside.
Yeah, well, okay, I guess I've got everything rigged up now. Let's see.
Hey, what's that clothesline you got there, Pa?
The clothesline? Yeah, well, it's attached to a lot of junk and stuff that I put up on the garage roofs, you see. Now, when Woodley tries to sneak into the garage tonight and walk under it, I pull the rope and crash.
Pretty subtle stuff, dear.
Yeah, well, hey, Blondie, come on, get inside quick. Here comes someone.
Come on, Alexander. Okay.
Oh, I can't wait to pull his cord. Oh, boy. Woodley will get clonked with everything but the kitchen sink. Ah. Hey, one of the things I've got up there is a kitchen sink. Well, here he comes. He's almost there. I'll say something to him and then pull the rope before he can answer. Is that my friend, Herb Woodley?
No, it's your boss, J.C. Dillis.
You are? Look out, Mr. Dillis! wonder if I ought to shoot myself now or later. Mr. Dithers! Mr. Dithers, where are you? I'll dig you out, Mr. Dithers. Yeah. Oh, there you are. Wait a minute now. Let me get that clock spring out of your ear. Well, I guess I sort of surprised you. Could you be laughing, Mr. Dithers?
Well, we all have to go sometime. Bumstead, you're overdue. You might as well go right now.
No, Mr. Dithers. Now, don't do anything you'd regret. You've got a lot. Well, you've got to let off steam, so go ahead and blow your top. Just don't blow it my way.
Bumstead! You pickle-headed, waffle-witted, blubber-brained, dopey, drooling, dribbling, dog-faced drip.
You left out nincompoop.
Thank you. Oh, Bumstead, you can't possibly have a brain. I'll bet 20 to 1 that stuff sloshing around inside your dome is rancid rhubarb. With hominy grits.
You think it is, huh? Well, that's a bet. Yeah, and then how are you going to prove it?
Easy. Just hand me an axe.
Now, wait a minute, Mr. Dithers. Wait just a minute. I surrender. I didn't know it was you.
I told you I was coming over tonight.
Yes, but I thought you'd drive over.
Well, I ran out of coupons. Yeah. I had a walk over. And I took the shortcut through the alley.
Did I hear a noise out here? Oh, hello, Mr. Dithers.
That was no more than a noise. It was almost an assassination.
Oh, Mr. Dithers, did you draw the lucky number?
Yeah, I hit the jackpot.
Come on in, Mr. Dithers.
Well, thank you, Blondie.
Can I come in, too?
Oh, yes, dear.
Yeah, I was afraid I'd have to sleep with Daisy and the puppies tonight. And then I'd have to spend all of tomorrow scratching myself.
Oh, I'd like to know an explanation for all that gunk I stepped into.
Well, Mr. Dithers, someone has been stealing tools out of my garage. They would steal them one night and then put them back the next. Now, I think it's Herb Woodley. That's who I had the trap set for.
Dagwood's already called the police about it.
Yeah.
I think that's enough.
Oh, no, it isn't, Blondie. I want to really pour it on.
Oh, Herb Woodley, eh?
Yeah.
Well, let's set the trap up again.
Oh, boy. Okay, J.C., okay.
Only this time, I'll booby up the trap. You, Hoobie Bay.
Now, Mr. Dithers, the idea of a man your age...
My age? I'm only 36.
Uh-huh.
39? 42? 42 and a half? For heaven's sake, stop me. 45? Okay, so I went to Sunday school with Magellan.
Well, I'm surprised at you.
Blondie, it's our duty as citizens to apprehend any crooks that are at large.
Can we help it if it turns out to be fun?
Instead of nearly killing a person, you ought to find some way to mark him so you'll know who it is tomorrow.
That's a great idea, Blondie.
Oh, boy.
Dagwood.
Huh?
Do you happen to have about half a can of old green paint?
Oh, dear. Why didn't I keep quiet?
Shh. Be quiet now.
Huh?
No move.
Yeah.
Here comes somebody.
Yeah. Hey, J.C., look. He's got a flashlight.
I'm watching him. See how much better this is, Dagwood?
Yeah.
The string that tips over the paint can goes in the window here, and you don't have to lie out in the cold.
Oh, Mr. Dithers, you're a genius.
Oh, you're just saying that. Look.
Huh?
Look, he's going to the garage.
Oh, this'll teach Woodley.
Right.
Yeah. Hey, he's getting closer now.
He's right under it. Here goes.
Boy, a bullseye. Come on, J.C.
I wouldn't make a bad bombardier, would I?
Well, what happened out here?
I don't know what happened.
Huh?
Something fell off of the roof and hit me on the head. Well, who are you?
I'm Officer Hannigan.
Oh, good night, Dagwood.
Stick around, Mr. J.C. Dithers, 414 South Oak Street.
Why, Bumstead, 5 feet 11, weight 165, eyes blue.
I was checking up on a report we had about prowlers. I wonder what the stuff is on my head. Well, I dropped my flashlight and it won't work.
It seems like syrup. Yes, it's molasses.
Oh. Yeah, just plain molasses without the cornbread, huh?
Gee, no. Well, it don't taste like molasses.
Well, it's a wartime substitute, a sort of a victory molasses.
It's all over my new uniform. It can't be molasses. It has sort of a dark green taste.
Now, there's a man who can taste colors.
Yeah. You are so right. Here's something to help you get it off.
What is it?
A paint remover.
Oh,
no, it's, I mean, molasses remover.
Yes. That victory molasses is really rough.
Oh. Well, what's going on out here? Did you two spill that green paint on someone?
No.
Green paint!
Oh, dear. A policeman.
She didn't say green paint. She said, you take it, J.C.
Well, you heard her. I check.
Did I say something wrong?
Oh, green pants, eh?
Well...
On an officer of the law, eh? Come on, you guys, you're going to jail.
I let go of me. I'll stand on my constitutional rights.
Okay, stand on them in the junk.
Yeah, now I'll stand on my habeas corpus.
Oh, double-jointed, eh?
Yeah.
All right, come on, you.
Well, it must have happened last night when I was down at the police station. But anyway, my electric jigsaw is gone.
Oh, dear. And Mr. Woodley wanted to borrow that yesterday.
Oh, he did, huh?
Oh, there he is. He just came out. Oh, hello there, Mr. Woodley.
Hello, Blondie. Hello, jailbird.
Hello, you saw snitcher. Well...
Now, stop. Don't go another step or I'll sue you for trespassing on my property.
Why, Mr. Woodley, that's our property for another 15 feet.
Yeah, but where's that stake that marks the property line?
There it is. Right behind you.
Yeah?
Behind us?
Woodley, you moved those stakes last night.
Oh, Dagwood, how could you think I'd stoop so low?
Stoop, huh? You have to stretch up to do such a low trick, you stoop. Look out, Blondie. I'm going to pull these stakes up again.
You touch them and I'll call that cop.
Yeah, look out. Here they go.
Hey, officer. Hey, help. Hey, officer.
Dagwood, don't. Here comes the policeman.
Yeah, well, I don't care. I'm in the right.
Now, please, Dagwood.
Hey, what's going on here?
He's trying to move the property line stakes.
I don't care what anybody... Oh, it's you again.
Well, hello. It's you, Mr. Bumstead, huh?
Yeah.
I guess you recognized me by my green eyebrows, didn't you?
Well, green is very becoming to an Irishman.
Shut up!
Oh. Officer, the stake has been moved.
Oh, has it, Mr. Woodley?
I rather doubt it.
Uh-huh.
Oh, you do, eh? Well, then, so do I. Would you like to prefer charges against Bumstead?
Well...
Oh, please don't, Mr. Woodley.
Well, I don't know.
Oh, come on. I'd be delighted to book him at the station again.
Well, it would be a better world if we could keep him behind bars.
Yeah, well, I just dare you to arrest me. Go ahead. I'll take this to the Supreme Court.
I could charge you with a lot of things. I'll think of something before I get to the station.
Officer Hannigan.
Yes?
Sure, and you're tall, and you're dark, and you're handsome. Sure, and yeah, but now you wouldn't arrest a fine broth of a husband like him, would you?
Well, yeah, that'd be a... Oh, so you're Irish, Arrow?
Uh-huh.
Well, me mither came from the old side, you know.
Yeah, and me fither came from there, too. nick to nick.
Dagwood, that's Scotch.
Oh, yes, excuse me.
Officer Hattigan, surely you don't want to arrest a man called Dagwood, Clancy, O'Houlihan, Shanahan, Bumpstead?
Boy, he's as Irish as Paddy's pig.
Right.
But not as clean. Go ahead and throw him in the jug, officer.
No, I let you off this time, Bumpstead.
Oh, yeah, thank you. And Aaron, go brawl.
But look now, leave those steaks where they are.
Oh, yes, sir.
So long, Dagwood.
Oh, I'm going to get the goods on that guy Woodley tonight. I'm going to rig up those tin cans again and... Oh, I know what I'll do. I'll fix up my flashlight camera so it'll take a picture and catch Woodley in the act.
More coffee, dear?
Oh, hey, thanks, Blondie. Gosh, I can't wait to take that film out of the developer and see how Woodley turned out in the picture. Yeah, where's Alexander?
Oh, he's got to go to school pretty soon. But I think he went out in the backyard. Oh, I guess he's coming in now.
Oh, Pop, I got a little present for you. I made him myself. Oh. Here it is.
Oh, say, this is wonderful. This is marvelous. This has got me fooled.
I know you only use one tie, and this is the world's only and fanciest one-tie tie rack.
Just what I needed. Hey, when did you make this?
Well, I want to surprise you, so I've been making it in Mr. Woodley's garage. But I had to borrow your tools.
So you're the one who's been stealing...
Dagwood?
Oh, yeah, thank you very much for the tie thing, Alexander.
Well, I'm glad you like it, Pop. Well, I'm going to go to school now. So long, folks.
Goodbye, dear.
Bye.
Now, you see, Dagwood, you were all wrong.
Yeah, I guess so.
Here you've been feuding with Mr. Woodley over nothing at all. He's been entirely innocent.
Yeah, gosh, I'm a dope. Blondie, I said I'm a dope.
I heard you, dear.
Well, aren't you going to contradict me?
No, dear. Come in. Why, it's Mr. Woodley.
Hello, my dear friends.
Yeah. Hello, stupid.
Dagwood, pal. I've come here to ask you, please, not to develop that flashlight picture you took of me last night.
Yeah, well,
Why, Mr. Woodley, was it you?
Yeah, but what were you doing out there?
Well, you won't tell Harriet, will you?
Oh, no.
Yeah, I won't either.
Well, the flashlight bulb went off when I was climbing over the fence. I was sneaking home from a little poker game.
Yeah? Poker, huh?
Ha, ha, ha. You won't tell Harriet. You won't tell Harriet now.
No, but I may just show her the picture. Poker, huh? Did you lose your shirt?
No, just my shoes and sport jacket.
But didn't the noise of the cans and things wake Harriet up?
Well, yeah, but I went upstairs and told her I just finished beating up a burglar. You know Harriet, she's plenty dumb.
Well, Mr. Woodley, will you move those stakes back where they belong?
Oh, sure, sure. I'll be glad to, Blondie. Will you give me that negative?
Well, Woodley, we won't show it to Harriet unless we have trouble with you in the future.
Oh, you won't, my dear friend. I assure you, you won't. I'll go right out and put the stakes back, gee. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, well, goodbye. And after this, watch your step when you're dealing with a Bumpstead.
Oh, yes, sir.
Yeah. Better.
Well, dear, let's take a look at the negative, shall we?
Yeah.
I'd like to see how the picture turns out. Open the closet door and take it out of the developing room.
Okay, Blondie. I hope Woodley looks guilty in the picture.
He's bound to without a coat and shoes.
Yeah, well, there it is. Let's hold it up to the light and see it, huh?
Yes. Gee, it turned out very well.
Yes. Hey, look at that.
Isn't that a dream?
Yeah, I'll say it is, Blondie.
Oh, dear. You know, I've never seen a more surprised expression on Daisy's face.
The Bumpsteads, as if you didn't know, will be back again in just a few moments.
Who is it?
It is I.
It is I? What kind of grammar is that to talk? Oh, hey, that's correct, isn't it?
Well, naturally. I came back to get my geography book.
Incidentally, Alexander, you came in a little late last night.
Yeah, it was 9:30. I was over at Baby Snook's house. I love that gal.
Yeah, well, what made you so late?
Snooks and I had to revive her father.
Well, what happened? Did she knock a vase off onto his head or something?
No, that was another time.
Yeah.
As president of our kids' club, I went over to pick up some Life magazines for the paper drive. Earlier in the day, I left a note, but somehow it seemed to scare her father silly.
Yeah, but what'd the note say?
Oh, nothing special. Hmm. It was signed the Scorpions. That's our club.
Oh, yeah.
And it said, "We are coming to take your life at 9 o'clock sharp."
Oh, dear. You and Baby Snooks make quite a pair.
Blondie, untuned to yesterday, an Armed Forces Radio Service rebroadcast, though first heard on CBS on October 15, 1944. And so closes this hour of sitcoms untuned to yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's golden era. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark LeVonier. Thanks for tuning in.